Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to this special edition of the Strang Report podcast. I am so honored to have Martha Munizzi. You know that she is a well-known gospel singer. We're going to talk about that today and talk about her brand new album, which is releasing in a few days. It's called Best Days. And I've known her for her best days.
You have.
Because I've known her since she was a little girl, and we're gonna focus on the new album, but we might take a little side trip down memory lane, so stay tuned.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, everyone, and welcome to Martha Munizzi and her husband, Danny, who I've known almost as long.
That's right.
But I knew your parents.
That's right.
I knew both of your parents.
It's wild.
It's crazy.
Our lives have intertwined in so many ways.
Incredible.
But let's put that off, because if I get started on that, we'll never get around to the album. So, you know, I will say this. Martha Munizzi used to work for Charisma.
I sure did. Believe it or not.
Yes, she did.
Yes,
when she was a young wife, and it's been so great to see. I mean, she was incredibly talented when she was a little girl. I mean, the family sang and, you know, at churches and all that kind of stuff. Her father was famous in his own right, and we'll talk about that. But tell me about this new album, Best Days. What caused you to call it Best Days?
You know, it's actually there's a lot of reasons why we called it Best Days, but it's really just based on that prophetic scripture in Isaiah. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Can't you see it? And going through COVID, you know, and all the things that we've been through 2020 and the top of 2021, we really got tested in a lot of ways. And those scriptures have been tested for me. Can we still see the new thing God's doing? Can we still feel expectation for something great that God's doing in what seems to be the worst year collectively of our lives? Can we still have faith and trust and see in a prophetic way that God is still doing something great? These are the best days. It's prophetic. And sometimes we want to wait and think, well, tomorrow will be better. Well, what if today was the day that we needed to be full of expectation, running to the promise, expecting God to do something great? And that's really what the title track is, a song that my daughters and I wrote called These Are the Best Days. And it is, these are the best days. He's doing a new thing. He's bringing water to the dry land. And that's really what it is. It's just bringing hope and a prophetic sound and a message that don't wait for tomorrow. Serve God today like it's the best day.
Boy, that is so encouraging.
I know.
If we need anything, we need hope.
Yes.
Because you look at the culture that seems to be getting worse by the moment.
I know it.
True.
But we know that God's word is true, and we can stand on God's word.
That's
and
right.
It's good to put that kind of, really put the scripture in our spirits.
Yeah.
And so you haven't released an album for 10 years, maybe?
I released a couple of singles a few years ago, but I haven't put a whole record out. So most people haven't even heard those singles. I just kind of did it for fun. We started pastoring almost 6 years ago. So
you've been a little bit busy.
We've been busy. And, you know, it just goes to show you just have to wait on God's timing, no matter how long it is. If it's 10, 15, 20 years, just wait on God's timing, because He redeems time. He puts things together in ways we cannot even imagine. So I was stressing that I waited that long to put music out, because you don't normally do that. But I was like, you know what, Lord? I have to be about the new assignment that you've given me and put all my energies behind that. And the music is just going to come when it comes. And can I tell you, it's 2020 was not on my bucket list of let's do a record. That was not on my list of things to do. And we started this record in the middle of October, and we did a live recording of 8 brand new songs, live band singers, all of it in November, the first week of November. So it was 30 days when we started the process to when we actually recorded live. So it went really quick. But that's what I'm saying. God's doing something new. It's springing forth. And so, it, you know, this record is all about that.
So it's new and fresh and anointed.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yes.
what I think of when I think of your ministry. You have such an anointing. Not just to sing. I mean, you have a beautiful voice, but boy, when you sing, there's an anointing.
Thank you.
I've known that about you. I've observed that about you all your life. So let me bring in Danny Munizzi. your husband.
Yes.
Who I've known for years and years.
Yes.
Known as parents.
We used to attend church together back at Calvary back in the day.
Back in the day.
I still got the first issue of Charisma.
Do you?
I do.
Oh,
you know
does.
What? Save it, and someday after I'm dead, it'll be worth something. But your mother, Carmen, worked for us for at least 10 years. I'd have to dig back in the archives to find out.
That's right.
Your sister, Lori, worked for us.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And then your cousin,
Cousins,
Lori,
mm-hmm.
did she work here too?
Yes, she did. She worked here as well. And I know my dad worked for you.
He was our go-to carpenter.
Yeah.
He put wood floors and our house at one point. And,
that's right.
You know,
they
just
love
different
you guys.
Things.
Yeah, he was your handyman.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, so.
And I just have so much respect for your parents. One thing, maybe I shouldn't say this on a podcast, but I remember your father said he had never kissed another woman than your mother, and I just thought that was so sweet.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, yep. They just celebrated 60 years.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
It's amazing.
God bless them.
Yep, guys, keeping them in Jesus' name.
And
preserving them, yeah.
Yes.
They loved Jesus, and they were just, so they were stalwarts in the faith.
Yes.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Then Martha worked here for a while. What, just 2 or 3 years, I think?
Yeah,
right?
I don't think I was a really good employee. I got to be real. I was not at my best in those days. But I did as good as, I think I was late a lot, but not by a lot, just by a little bit.
Well, I don't remember that. Whatever you did didn't make its way to my office.
Good. I'm so glad. I'm just being real. It just feels good to say it. It feels good. Therapy.
Cleansing. Cleansing, right?
But I did my,
come clean.
I did my job well. I was just, you know, I'm a creative. I was always about five minutes late.
You were also diligent, because I think when your first daughter was born,
yes,
you had a deadline. I think you met your deadline before you went to the hospital.
They said you can't go into labor until this paper that you're creating. And I literally hit print, and I went into labor. That's a real true story. That's
real
not
story.
A joke.
Story.
That really happened.
Wow. That was almost 30 years ago.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be doing gospel music had I not spent time. I know we talked about this. Working for Charisma Strang, it was such a culminative moment. Is that the word? Whatever the word is. It was just.
It was a culmination.
Directing my steps. The Holy Spirit literally was directing my steps in a way I could not have ever fathomed or thought of or put together in such an incredible way. When I worked here, gospel music was all around me because. Should I tell the story now?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll tell it. Because that was back in the day when you would send your cassettes in. And for those of you that are too young to know what a cassette is, I don't know what to tell you. Google it. But it was the little
tape. But it was self-contained.
Yeah, and then you have to take a pen or a pencil to kind of, with the actual ribbon, all that stuff. But that was the music. That's how we listened to a lot of music. Isn't
that was state-of-the-art back then.
It was.
It was better than reel-to-reel.
It was. It was like, wow, we got cassettes. And when the magazine would interview the artist.
Review.
They would review the record, the album.
All the companies sent all of their music, hoping we would review it and give them publicity.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how the business works.
Right.
You're
and
right.
We still have a review section in Charisma all these years later. But
and that
ahead.
Was the thing you would go and listen. I would always see what the review was, you know, because what you guys said mattered so much, you know, and it still does, of course. But when you were finished reviewing the records, all of the leftover cassettes would end up in a box, a cardboard box, in the break room. And so I would go in the break room on my lunch hour. And one day I just walked in. I said, oh, what are all these? And I just started going through it. And just by, air quotes, happenstance, I picked up a Ricky Grundy cassette, which is all gospel, like chorale, like choir, probably 100 voice choir, probably. And I remember taking it home that day and putting it in. As soon as I got home, I put it in my cassette player. And my life was forever changed. When I listened to it, I said, I don't even know where this music has been all my life. Like, I knew Andre Crouch, and that was it. I'd done Southern Gospel my whole life. And when I heard it, I said, this is it. This is all I want to do. So every week I would go in, or however, every month, and I would pilfer through it, and I would take all the gospel. And I think there was a rule that was made later on with a little sticky note that said, please don't take more than one. I think you made that rule for me.
Probably
so. Because
I'm,
like, putting everything. And John P. Key, everybody. I mean, I would go home and it was free music, so that even made it better. But it just introduced me to a world that I had no idea that God was going to lead me in, just organically. Because some people will say, how did you find gospel music? Did you pick it? I was like, no, it picked me. You know, I mean, it was such an organic moment to just out of nowhere. Would you think you're just picking up happenstance? God is actually was ordering my steps.
You know, and that could encourage people. The God is going to put things in their lives.
That's right.
You never know how or when.
Never.
And, you know, all of us have circumstances. It doesn't all end up in a career like you've had. But let me mention your father, John Stallings, who wrote a song called Learning to Lean,
yes.
which was a big, big, big
Huge,
song back
yeah.
in the 70s.
Yes.
And in fact, I knew of John Stallings because he was well known. I mean, even as a kid, I mean, I sort of heard his name. I found out later that he took piano lessons from my wife's grandmother back
wow.
in the day,
wow.
long before I was around. I mean, isn't it interesting how these things
come
so,
together? Yeah.
You know, I can remember getting to know him, and I even visited your home one time, I remember, and you and your twin sister,
mm-hmm.
Mary, you know, I mean, you were just cute little girls. I was there to visit your parents, and then you have an older sister.
Yes, Marvelline.
And, you know, it was just a nice family. Southern music was the deal.
Was
Learning to Lean was very Southern
sure.
gospel, and that's how I grew up, hearing that kind of music.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Pentecostal circles. And I'm not a musician like you are, but over the years I've come to love gospel music too. And I think that the choirs are my favorite.
Oh, yes.
You know, the mass choirs.
100%.
And that kind yeah. of thing.
It's so interesting because that song has lived down through the ages, Learning to Lean on Jesus. A lot of people think that it's a hymn, you know, that it was written in the 1800s. I'm like, well, not quite.
And it has popped up in some hymn books since
It's been
then.
In some hymn books.
Yeah.
It won a Dove for in 1977 for Song of the Year, which I was there that time. I was a little girl, and I'll never forget that moment, you know, of that song. But it's really just over the years stayed kind of at the top of the charts and on different charts. So many artists throughout the years have recorded that song. And then not even 2 years ago, we were at a John Maxwell event, a big event, and probably 3,500 people there here in
yeah.
Orlando.
Yeah.
And during the breakfast on Saturday morning, everybody's packed room, packed out room. And John Maxwell gets up and says, you know, there's a song that I've had in my heart for so many decades. And I sing this every morning when I'm spending time with the Lord. And he starts singing Learning to Lean. And I about fell out of my chair. I thought that. And I kind of felt like before he even sang it, I thought, why do I feel like he's about to sing? And he did. Learning to Lean in front of all these people. And I thought, it's the song that just carries us through, you know, learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean it's on Jesus. It's so simple, but yet it's such a practical truth that we need. And so it's lasted all these years. And, you know, before my dad passed, he's been gone almost 2 years. We were able to talk about that song and the impact that it's made. And he was always very proud of that, very proud of that God gave him that song. And we're always proud of him.
So you come naturally by your musical talent.
A little bit, yes.
Yeah. And it's interesting to just a number of years ago, you know, her dad won a Dove Award for Song of the Year. And then Martha won a Dove Award for Contemporary Gospel Album of the Year. And just the to know that all those years ago, and now to see what's happened
yeah,
and what's happening.
Wild.
And she actually shifted genres from Southern gospel to contemporary gospel. It was a great, great moment for us. And we're so grateful that that happened.
For sure.
Well,
yeah.
Tell us how you started your ministry and started your church here in the Orlando area.
Well, we had been, as you know, we've been traveling for a number of years. We started traveling full time in 2001. We were ministers of music ministers of a church in Orlando. And in 2001, God said, it's time to go, time to travel the world. So we did that for, and still do it, as a matter of fact. And I guess about 2012, 2013, we were feeling disconnected to the body. We were feeling like we needed our kids plugged in somewhere locally. And we started having meetings in our home on Sunday evenings once a month. And we called them epic nights of, or an epic worship type thing. And then we would do quarterly worship meetings, epic nights of worship, where we invite special guests. At Martha's mom's facility. She had a facility here in Orlando where we met. And then we just, every time we would pray, God, where are you taking this? We just took the next progressive step.
Right.
The next progressive step after that was we started doing Thursday evenings.
Bible studies.
Bible study, just like the old days. And we did that for a year. And then from that, we did Sunday nights. Because we're trying to juggle, you know, what we're doing on the road
traveling
mm-hmm. and try to do the home thing. And then in September of 2015, We launched Epic Life Church right here, actually, in Winter Park, Florida. And
we took the launch. Jump, yeah.
And, you know, Martha and I have been involved in multiple church plants here in Orlando in some form or fashion over the years, starting with her as a little girl. Her mom and dad pastored a church in Windermere, New Life Assembly.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. And on Sand Lake Road.
That's right. Right there in Sand Lake. Yes. So we've been a part of church plants. And God said, this is the one that you're going to be planning on your own. This is time for you guys to step out. And we did. And God has blessed it. And we're I want to give a shout out to our Epic Life Church family. Hey guys, how you doing?
Love everybody. You know, it's funny though, because when it's a shift, because it takes a whole new set of skills to pastor than it does to do anything else. And so it's got to be a calling, or it will crush you. It crushes you either anyway, but it will kill you.
Yeah.
But being a gospel artist, everywhere I go, it's, you know, love and kind of get your autograph, kind of get a picture with you, and it's all when you pastor. It's like, where did all that go? What happened? What did I do? What did we do? It's just funny how it's...
They see all the bumps and bruises. Yeah,
but it makes you stronger, and we're
got,
having a blast.
So it's true that sheep bite? Is that it?
Oh, yeah, they've got fangs. Some of them have big old sharp fangs.
And we're also blessed to have our three children that are ministering alongside with us in ministry. Yeah. I mean, we raised them on the road with us. So when the church was launched, they pitched right in. And they're all actively involved either in worship ministry, kids ministry, tech ministry, and they're serving right alongside with us. We're blessed.
That's exciting. Well, let's talk a little bit about this album. You're going to let us listen to the radio single, Fight For Me. Tell me the story behind that.
It's a great story, actually. My daughter, Danielle, she wrote it a couple of years ago.
The one that was born right after Deadline.
Yes,
the one.
She was the first one, yes. And she wrote this song a couple of years ago, and she wrote it as a ballad. And she sang it for me, and I thought, oh, that's nice. But it didn't, like, really resonate. Well, she sent it to a couple of her friends, thinking they were going to jump on board and say, oh, let's write this song together. Well, they didn't even respond. So she was so just disappointed, because she thought, okay, you know, I thought my friends would want to co-write this. And so, you know, at first you start thinking maybe it's a bad song. Maybe I'm not a writer. So she put it to the side. And then when we started talking about writing this, one day I think I went to the bathroom for like 5 minutes and came back when we were writing in the studio with our producer. And she had sang him this song as a ballad. And he said, no, it needs to have a different style. And he completely changed the song. Kept the lyrics, kept the melody, and it is one of those songs that just have such a strong scriptural theme. He fights for me, so I won't worry. I don't have to be afraid. He fights for me, and a lot of times we take the word "for" out and we just say "fight me." You know what I'm saying? Like, we live in a world where we're like dukes up, but when the reality is, when we're still, the Bible tells us to be still and let God fight for us. He's fighting for us. It shifts everything. Everything shifts. The fear shifts, worry shifts, anxiety shifts. When we know that there's a God with angel armies, you know, somebody recently told a story that was so powerful about how their older brother was like crazy, and the younger brother was bullied all the time at school, bullied. And so he would tell the bully, the younger brother would say, "Don't bully me because I got an older brother that is crazy, and you don't want me to tell him." Well, day after day, he kept bullied, and finally he told his big brother, and his big brother showed up to the school one day and took care of the bully. And the younger brother said, "I tried to tell you, my big brother's crazy. Don't mess with him." Well, Jesus is our elder brother. And so when the enemy messes with us, God steps in. Jesus steps in, and he fights for us. Many of us are fighting. We're anxious because we're fighting our own battle. We're frustrated because we're trying to make things happen, or we're fighting with family, or fighting something that we just need to let it go and trust that God is fighting for us. And we sing that old song, "I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord." Well, yes, but no, we're actually ambassadors for God. We're actually here on assignment, high-ranking officials. And we don't have to fight. We just have to worship and praise. That's what the song's all about. I'm not leaning on my own strength. God, I'm trusting in your way. And so I'm walking in victory.
And so why don't we listen to a short clip?
You fight for me. You turn praise to victory. You fight for me. Every battle you fight.
thank you for sharing that. I've done all these podcasts. I've never done that before. So, so that's exciting. Gives people, I'm going to download it tonight. I should have probably figured out how to do it before you were here, but I didn't do that. I've been moving a little bit fast, but you know, we're going to write about this. We'll put it on charismanews.com. Get
fabulous.
Out the word.
Tell
new
everybody
album,
you know, yes.
First time in 10 years.
Amen.
People need to experience the anointing. And on a personal level, I'll just tell you how much I appreciate your friendship all these years. How many years? Over 40?
Over four decades.
So
45
many years.
Plus or minus.
Wow.
I have to say, though, before we end this, Dan and I have just respected you and Joy for all of these years, and your staying power, your commitment to one another,
integrity,
your commitment to the call of God on your life and
That's
what
right.
you do. And you've taught us all how to segue and pivot with changing times and stay successful, stay hearing God and moving forward. And it is really inspiring. And I want you to know that we really honor you guys and what you do. And we're grateful that you are here. You just make Orlando better.
And we appreciate the platform that you provided for us
over
the years. I know Martha has graced the cover of Charisma Magazine a number of years ago. And when we grow up, we want to be you guys.
Well, we're right behind you, so we better hurry up.
Well, you're very kind. And, you know, maybe we ought to start a mutual admiration society.
We should.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Because I admire you and your family. I didn't mention your mother, Faith. I mean, she is a woman of faith.
Mm. She's amazing.
She really is amazing. And she can sing in her own right, but she can preach.
Has a school, Faith Christian University, is still
right.
going. And
she's an administrator.
Yep.
And she's like the ever-ready bunny. She just doesn't quit.
She does not quit. She broke her shoulder and her hip in February, and she's already back to normal and got through it all. She's amazing. She
really is.
Has the call of God, and she is the Energizer Bunny. She doesn't quit. So,
well, we need to probably wrap this up. Podcast, you don't go on forever. We could probably talk for hours. If we started talking about all the people we knew in common.
Oh, my goodness. That's a whole nother show.
Another show.
It's true.
And so I'll just thank you again for being on my podcast. And we're going to get this out far and wide. I'll just encourage my podcast listeners to share this with your friends and to order this album and do our part to try to get something off the ground. I don't do albums, but we have published a few books. And,
yes, you have.
And that early momentum is very, very important.
Yes.
And so I just wanted to do this. It also gave us a chance to reconnect a little bit.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you so much, really.
Before we wrap up, I want you to tell my listeners all the platforms where they can get this in your own website. And if they just want to write you an email, you wouldn't mind that, would you?
Not at all.
They just wanted to say hi or your ministry has really affected them in a positive way.
Exactly. If you want to write us, you can write us info@marthamunizzi.com. And the single, we've got two singles out right now. They're available on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, all of the streaming platforms will be available. And we'll also have hard copies available for those diehards like me that would like to hold a CD in their hands. We'll have those available for order as well. But our website is marthamunizzi.com.
And before we wrap up this podcast, Martha, I want to give you the last word.
Oh my goodness. I am just in awe of what God is doing. Hello, Facebook. I want to encourage somebody on this podcast that could be listening to this on the replay or you're watching live. I know that God is doing things we can't see. And it is so easy to get into the world that we live in and media and all the things we're hearing and seeing and lose sight of the truth of God's word, that he's in control. And Amos, the book of Amos, I believe it's chapter 9, says that there's blessings coming. Everywhere you look, blessings. Get ready. Everywhere you look, blessings. And I believe no matter what we're going through, no matter what we see, that God is doing something bigger than what we can imagine. I think I heard Joseph Prince say, if you want to know what God is doing, just look at what the devil is doing, reverse it, and double it. And I thought that was so powerful because it can be so easy to be overwhelmed and consumed with worry and fear and anxiety because of what we see happening in the world. But the truth of God's word is there are more for us than are against us. God is still in the blessing business. He's got us. These truly are the best days. We can't just assume that tomorrow's going to be better. Today is the day. Do you see what God can do right now in the moment, in the worst of the worst. God can do something more than you can ever imagine. So hold on to hope. Hold on to God's word. Get you an environment, an atmosphere of praise and worship, and just trust God. And he's going to bring you through and do things greater than you could ever imagine.
Well, thank you so much. That's so well said. Thank you to Dan and Martha Muniz for being my guest today on The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.